Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Yes, that's right. I've got the sword of the Spirit right here. Amen. And that's what we've been talking about are the spiritual gifts, or not spiritual gifts, so the armor, fighting the good fight and putting on the proper armor. We have talked about spiritual gifts. We're just kind of working through spiritual warfare. Pastor Otis shared with us the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So we're really talking about the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this armor that we are to put on helps protect us and causes us to be able to fight this spiritual battle with the supernatural power that the Holy Spirit gives us to do so. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. We must realize this is a battle that we are in. Jesus already won. I keep reiterating that. Jesus won the battle. However, there's war, there's skirmishes that we are going to be in throughout our life. We're still in the flesh. We're still in this world. So we're going to have to learn to fight the battles against the enemy. We are not left on our by ourselves to do that. We are not alone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're talking about the armor of God. How important it is. Because we need to have that on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I heard one pastor say, people were talking about putting the armor of God on a daily basis. And he said, were you supposed to take it off? It's never supposed to come off, right? This is God's armor that he gives his people. We sleep in the armor. Amen? We work in the armor. We do interact with other people in the armor. It's not bulky and heavy. It's light. Jesus said his burden, it's light. Right? Amen? So it's malleable. It's easy to move around in. But it's powerful. Amen. It was a young lady and her husband, her fiance, they just got married actually 3 weeks prior, Joanna and Tom Wilson. And suddenly, after about 3 weeks of marriage, she called up the pastor and she was out of her mind, hysterical. And she said, "Pastor, Tom and I have had our first fight, and it was horrible. It's terrible. I just can't tell you how terrible it was." And the pastor, you know, he was a seasoned pastor, and he just kind of said, "Now just settle down, Joanna. Everything's going to be all right. You know, everybody has fights, and you're going to have your first fight, and that's just the way it is, you know. Settle down, everything will be fine." And she said, "Pastor, I understand that, but what am I going to do with the body?" Now, woohoo. Now, listen. We have to learn, even in our relationship with our spouse, that this warfare that we are in, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, right? We're fighting against principalities and powers. So it doesn't matter how much your spouse acts like the devil. You're not supposed to treat them that way. Amen? Okay, and if we can't do that in our family, in our household, how are we going to do that with people that we don't even have relationship with? People who curse us and hate us and for whatever, for no reason at all sometimes, just because we love Jesus. It's very important that we operate in this this spiritual premise in our household as well, because we got to put it into practice. So far, we've discussed four pieces of military equipment. Paul pointed them out in Ephesians chapter 6, 14 through 18. Now, we're not going to read that again this morning, but we'll just look at one scripture as we continue with this teaching. And I realize that that I've had a lot of teachings in this series, but I really want us to get this in our spirit, how important this armor is. And each piece is extremely important to our ability to be able to war properly and to be able to protect our families and accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of truth, and the shield of faith. Now, today, we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So those are the two things that we're going to be talking about. Not sure exactly how far I'm going to get with it this morning, but we will I'll just do the best I can. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm not trying to impress anybody, and I'm not trying to get through this quickly. We're just going to talk about it because I believe it's very important. A Roman helmet was known as the Gallia, which could be designed a little different here and there, because the reason that it could have been a little different was because there was not mass manufacturing in that day like it is today, where, you know, if they make an item, every item looks exactly like the one right before it, because they do it mechanically, press even our vehicles. If you buy a Chevy, it's going to look like the Chevy that came off the assembly line, the one that you bought right before it and the one right after it. They all look the same, the particular model, whatever it is. But that wasn't the case during the Roman era. So blacksmiths would create the helmet and the other pieces of armor individually for the individual person. And they had a pretty much a pattern that they went by, but it could be a little different. The most important thing, usually the helmet was made of metal. And the most obvious value of a metal helmet was to protect blows to the head. And from a spiritual perspective, that's the same, the reason that we want to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet usually had cheek plates to guard against blows to the face. In addition, it had metal pieces in back to protect against blows to the back of the neck. And some later on, they had eyebrows protections to protect the eyes. So we'll discuss this a little bit more as we go on with this message a little later on. But first, let's look at what the Bible defines as salvation, because it says this is the helmet of salvation. And this helmet of salvation protects our head, and protecting our head means it's protecting our soul realm, our mind, our will, our emotions. It has a great deal of ability to protect us from the attacks of the enemy. So salvation means saved or receiving deliverance. For Christians, salvation means receiving deliverance from the penalty of sin, of course. Notice what Paul said about being saved in Romans 5, 8 through 10. He said this, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we're saved from what? From wrath. That's what it tells us. The wrath of God. Nobody wants to come under the wrath of God. I can guarantee you. It's going to be a terrible thing for people who experience the wrath of God. I mentioned something about the tribulation period on the face of the earth. God begins pouring out his wrath during that tribulation period. The last 3.5 years, God's wrath is poured out on mankind because mankind refuses to accept God as king, and Jesus Christ as Lord and king of this world, of this earth. And mankind, the more corrupt mankind becomes, the more God tries to get their attention with incredible disasters and things that's going to come upon this earth. The wrath of God is going to be a horrible thing. But it doesn't end there, because once this era, this time that we live in comes to an end, then the wrath of God is going to be completely poured out on all who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on them. And that means, as we know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation and eternal life are gifts that God wants to give to all of mankind. It's a free gift. And he wants you, he wants every person on the face of the earth to have it. Will they? Absolutely not. We know, we read the Bible, we know that during that time, the tribulation period, there's been hundreds of thousands of souls that have gone on from this earth, passed on, that's going to suffer the wrath of God, because the wages of sin is death and torment. Salvation and eternal life is exactly what God wants for everyone. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only Son, that anyone who would believe on him would have everlasting life. That's all we have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. But so many are rejecting that. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That salvation or deliverance that we're talking about from sin opens the door for us, all of us, to join the family of God, to have a relationship with Almighty God. Adam and Eve severed that relationship. Jesus came and caused and mended that relationship. Jesus came and caused us to have, once again, be able to have a relationship with the Father. Do you realize before Jesus came, man really couldn't come close to God? The only one that came close to God was Moses. He went face to face with God, and one of the reasons is because he was a type and example of Christ. Moses was able to, but man was separated from God. Even the Holy of Holies, where God would come down once a year the priest would minister to the Spirit of God, it was separated with a huge curtain, keeping mankind on the outside. They could come into the courtyards, inner court and outer court, but they couldn't have a relationship with the Father. And now we have, because of the blood of the Lamb of God, have a perfect relationship with our Father. It's everything that we could ever imagine. All right, let's go back to the design of the helmet. Usually had cheek plates to guard against blows to the face. This protects us from frontal attacks. Our enemy is relentless. How many have ever had the enemy whisper in your ear, "Are you really saved?" I mean, You must be a superhuman if that hasn't happened to you. Because I'm sure that every one of us has, at least at once or twice in your life, the enemy said, do you really believe that you're saved? That's his tactic. He wants to make you doubt. But the reality is, you are. You are saved from the wrath of God. And that wrath of God is going to send people to eternal torment in hell. And you're saved from that. I'm saved. Anyone who has received Christ as a personal Savior is saved from that. The knowledge of the helmet of the salvation provides us with the security to know that we are saved. James 4:7 tells us this: submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. That's exciting to know. We submit to our Father, whom we now have a personal relationship with because of the blood of Christ. We submit to Him, and because of that, we can resist every attack that the enemy sends our way. Glory. And he flees. He can't stand it. Apostle Paul made it completely clear to us in Romans chapter 8 that our salvation is secure in Christ. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you catch that? Listen closely. Because it says, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. No one and nothing is going to separate you from the power and the love of our God. He loves us so much that He made a way for that to happen, for that reconciliation to take place. But if I understand Scripture correctly, and I hope I do. I've been studying it for a long time. I believe that the only thing that can separate you from the love of God is you. You can make some choices to separate from God, to walk away. And I say that because I have experience with people that I absolutely know, or at least I believed at the time, that they had that personal relationship, strong relationship with God. They prayed regularly. They fasted. They sought the face of God. They saw miracles take place in their life, and now they're not serving Him. It's very sad. It hurts to see those kind of things happen. What's going to happen for eternity with them? I have no idea, and I'm not even going to try to speculate. But I do realize what the Scripture says. If you turn back, to the things that the Scripture tells us, you're like a dog. How many have ever seen a dog eat its vomit? Ugh, it's disgusting, isn't it? That's what it says we're like if we turn back. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. How many has been guilty of that one? Am I the only one? Yeah, okay. Amen. Well, thank you, brother. Helping me out here. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Now, here's the thing. It's not that we may make some mistakes. We may get angry and have outbursts of wrath at times, and we may do some things that are not that are listed in this. We may allow hatred to rise up inside of us. Sometimes, you know, we feel like we're justified in hating somebody for something that they've done to us. You're not. You're going to have contentions with other people. You're going to have feelings of jealousy. It's not that you have these things. Here's what the Word of God says. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not that you're going to come in and out sometimes and have difficulties and sin and ask for forgiveness and move on with your life. But if you're practicing regularly practicing any of these sins, the Scripture is very clear. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why it's so important that we share the truth of the gospel with people, that they realize they have to repent, receive Christ, and turn. That's what repentance is, turning. You know, you're going this direction. You're heading toward hell. And Christ comes into your life, and whoop, suddenly you turn and go in the other direction. You're going all the way to heaven. Amen? You're going up, not down. Hallelujah. John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. A helmet protects a soldier against those deadly blows. And spiritually speaking, the helmet of salvation provides hope, and it protects the mind against discouragement, deceit, and the wiles of the devil. It allows us to always rest in the fact that our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And we can walk in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says this, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not appointed us to wrath. Amen. So with the helmet of salvation in place, a Christian, every one of us believers. If you're not a believer, you can fix that. You can become a believer. Receive Christ as your Savior. But every believer can rest assured that Jesus has done the work on the cross for us. And if we believe in Him, we do not have to worry about the wrath of God. We're free. We're free to be believers in Jesus Christ. Free in His kingdom. In the 1820s, a little girl was born. And when she was 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. And because this eye infection was something that they could treat at the time, but because the doctor made some mistakes, she became blind for life. That little girl would later say this about the doctor as she grew older. She said, if I could meet him, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. And why did she feel that way? Because she understood. She was a believer in Jesus Christ. And she understood that even in her weakness, Christ became strong in her. That little girl was Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 8,000 or 9,000 poems and hymns. And one of her hymns was Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Hallelujah. She understood. exactly what where salvation came from. In addition, the helmet has a metal piece in the back. It protects against blows to the back of the neck. And this is important to us, spiritually speaking, because we can't fight from the back. Now, what we can do as believers, we can do what David and one of his mighty men did when they were fighting at the Philistines. They can stand back to back with their swords and wipe out the enemy as they come their way. So we do need believers. We need people around us. We need other warriors to stand with us and fight with us. So as we fight, we can fight back to back this enemy. But the reality is sometimes we're alone. And we have to fight these battles alone. Or we think we're alone. We don't have people around us, but we're never alone. I can guarantee you this, that God will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus Christ is always going to be there. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." God is not going to allow the enemy to sneak up on us. This Greek word here is methodia. Outline of biblical usage says it means cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. Strong says it means literally to lie in wait or to lie in wait for somebody. The NIV Bible translates it schemes, traps or schemes of the enemy. What we need to take away from this is this, that the devil is very smart and very sneaky. Without God's protection, the enemy's schemes can and many times will prevail against us. That's why we have to depend on our Father. But have no fear. We know this, the greater one lives inside of us, that we're more than conquerors. And we have the assurance that God has told us that He will be our rear guard. Hallelujah. He's going to be there. So the enemy's not going to be able to sneak up on us because our God is so good. He tries. Believe me, He has tried so many times to sneak up on me and on this church and on this congregation and all of you. He's tried to sneak up on you, but God has always been there guarding your back. And He will always be. The next part, the helmet had an eyebrow to protect the eyes. I'm sure you all can agree with me in this incredible decadent world that we live in. We need our eyes protected. We need some supernatural protection. Everywhere you look, the media is portraying things that I don't know how long it's probably been, probably less than 50 years ago, would have been illegal for them to publish on media. It's incredible, the things. I can't even watch the Super Bowl halftime show. I refuse to watch that stuff because there's so much lewdness and it's become to the point where outright Satan worship. If you watch the things that they're doing, it was a few years ago, and like I said, I haven't watched it, but I did watch this one. I think Katy Perry was the halftime show. And she came out dressed like a harlot, try to be kind, riding on the back of some sort of beast. It was taken right out of the book of Revelation. And let me tell you something. Thousands of Christians just sat and watched and soaked that stuff in. Not some of them didn't even realize what was being portrayed. Why do they do that stuff? Because they're the children of their father, the father of lies, the devil. My grandson, two grandsons, have a VR, a virtual reality. They put the goggles on. And it is funny. You're right. I sat in the living room and watched them. They're spotting at something. There's nothing there, but they're doing this stuff and climbing and grabbing stuff. I don't see anything, but the virtual reality, there's stuff there. I put it on and I checked it out, and it's incredible. How real it feels. It's virtual reality. It's almost reality, but it certainly feels real. It feels like that stuff's flying at you. It feels like you're there. And this is the kind of stuff that we have to deal with. Something that they're talking about. Now, I tried to do a little bit of research without getting too much into the stuff that's going on, but something they're talking about, I guess it's even beyond the talking stage now, they're introducing virtual reality sex. Watch your kids, protect your kids. And some of the things that they were talking about with this was all you had to do was plug in to your USB port. forgive me for laughing, but I can't comprehend it. It's so hard to recognize that, you know, that something that God created to be special between a husband and wife, the enemy is so distorting it and destroying people with it. Now, men, we have a battle. We're visual creatures, and we have a battle that the majority of us are fighting, that lust thing. And all this stuff that is going on TV and the media, you've got to guard yourself. You can't let yourself be sucked into it, because if you do, you're going to become one of those statistics where 1 in 10 men in the body of Christ is caught up in pornography. And pastors are not exempt, believe me. There's a bunch of them involved. It's destroying people's lives. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. If that's your situation, God wants to set you free and deliver you from that. And I'm so thankful that I've not gotten caught up in any of that. But people do, and it's very easy. When I was a teenager, I did see a few things and was involved in some stuff that I shouldn't have been, but thank God he protected me and kept me from the majority of it. I'm like Job. And we all need to be like Job. Job said this, and this is the New Living Translation so that we all hear it clearly. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. You see, God wants to protect us, but it's our responsibility to make that covenant with our eyes. When Tammy and I, almost most years, we have gone to Texas to visit our daughter, and when we do, we get to go to the ball game on Thanksgiving. We usually go at Thanksgiving, and we get to visit our daughter, and we get to go to a Cowboys ball game. And one of the things that I have made a covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to watch those Dallas cheerleaders. I don't watch them on TV, and particularly when we go to that stadium, because listen, I don't know if you realize, but that screen shows people 10 foot tall. And if you're sitting there in that booth, and it's just about eye level where we sit, we look up at that 10-foot tall screen, and those Dallas cheerleaders are out there doing their things. And forgive me, but they don't have much clothes on. Many clothes at all. And I have made a covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to watch that. But all of you men sitting in here, you know how hard that is. I find myself once in a while glancing back. Hey, I'm not trying to make fun here. I'm trying to be honest with you about the battle that men go through. It's a reality. But with the helmet of salvation, you see, I made that covenant because I know I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I have a relationship with my Father. And that would not please my Father. That's what I want to do, is please my Father more than anything. With the helmet of salvation, we can keep our eyes firmly locked on eternity and not on the things of this world. Women, I know you have other battles that you deal with. Things that are the lust of the eyes, and whatever they might be. But whatever it is, we can do the same thing that Job did. We make a covenant. We're not going to allow these things to overcome us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Boxing great Muhammad Ali. Everybody in here remember Muhammad Ali? You know, some of you probably saw videos of Muhammad Ali, but I was around when Muhammad Ali was the boxing great. It was, but Muhammad Ali was he did not lack confidence. I would say that he boldly declared, "I am the greatest." If you ever heard him. Howard Cosell would interview him, and they had this thing going back and forth, and Muhammad Ali would say, "I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest it's ever been." And he was pretty special. But on one occasion, Ali was flying. He was taking a flight, and he refused to put a seatbelt on. And he said to the flight attendant, he said, "Superman don't need no belt." And she was just as feisty as he was. And she shot back to him. She said, "But Superman don't need no plane." He put his belt on. I ain't Superman. You ain't Superman or Superwoman. None of us ever will be. But we have a super God that lives inside of us. And because of that, we can put this armor of God on. We can do battle. We can be victorious. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who would like to have prayer this morning before we leave? Maybe you have an issue that you need to pray about, need healing. Always like to make sure we meet needs before we leave.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.